So we're going to read from John chapter 14 and verse 1 as we start into this new series. These are some of the last words of the Lord Jesus as he speaks with his disciples before he goes to his death. And it's interesting, it's been my experience often that some of the simplest verses of the Bible are contained in some of the most complicated passages of Scripture. Some of these words that we're going to read this morning are well known to us, where Jesus says things like, I am the way, the truth, and the life, first that we hold on to and are very simple to understand. And yet, this verse is in a passage that's speaking a lot about the relationship between the Father and the Son, things that are very complicated. I have to say, in preparing to speak, it's one of the subjects that I veer into with great fear and concern, because it's one of those areas in which it's so easy to go wrong. So we want to understand something of the complexity of what Jesus said without losing the simplicity of the message of the Lord Jesus. So let's read from verse 1 of John chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. We're going to end the reading of God's word there this morning. For those of you who've just completed your leaving certificate exams, you probably had to read a play for your English paper. My memory of school was Macbeth. That was the play that I had to read. For some of you, that might have been a delight. For others, probably most of you, a bit of a drag. But there's a sense in which a play is to be shown for it to be accurately known. There's something different about seeing it acted out in the way that the writer intended it to be displayed. There's a different kind of knowing the play by the actors showing the play. Likewise, if you go on holiday, you might read up in advance about a particular place that you want to visit. You know all about this tourist attraction or that historical building, but there's a different kind of knowing when the guide is showing you around. Well, so that we might know the Father, Jesus came to show the Father. The Son of God comes in human form so that the invisible God might be made known by being shown. Some of the followers of Jesus will talk about not only what their ears have heard, but what their eyes have seen and their hands have touched. The invisible God, the Father, is made known as he is shown by the Son of God in human form. In this passage, in verse 7, Jesus says to Thomas, if you really knew me, you would have known my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. We know the Father by knowing Jesus. There's a complexity to this relationship between God the Father and Jesus, the Son of God in human form. In fact, it's so complex that it's a struggle for us to grasp the truth of it. In human relationships, we may say things like, "You are just like your father," or "She is the spit of her mother." We may mean one of two things. We may be talking about a physical likeness. The daughter looks so much like her mother that there's no mistaking the family that she comes from. Or we may be talking about characteristics. We see the son's sense of humor, and it might as well be the father who's telling the joke. But in no sense would we say, if you know the son, you also know the father. Or if you know the daughter, you know the mother as well. We understand that they are unique individuals with different desires and aspirations, likes and dislikes, interests, hobbies, and pleasures. The relationship between the Heavenly Father and Jesus, the Son of God, is far more complex than that. It's not a physical likeness, because God is spirit and Jesus is the Son of God come in human form. Yet in character, we're not simply saying that the Father and Son are alike in certain areas. We're saying much more than that. We're saying that they share the very same characteristics because they are one in their very being. After all, there is but one God. This isn't like any human relationship between two people who have differing wills and desires. Rather, what the Father wills, the Son wills. What the Father loves, the Son loves. Though they're different persons, they are the one God, so that Jesus can say, "I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." Now, as complicated as that is, as complex as this relationship might be between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, at another level, it is wonderfully simple. We know the Father by knowing Jesus. It's as simple as that. Jesus' disciples want to know God, the Father, and Jesus' message is wonderfully simple, so simple that they're struggling to grasp the reality of it. Jesus says in verse 7, "If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Well, how can that be? Because we know the Father by knowing Jesus. And according to Jesus, there is room in the Father's house for all who will put their trust in him. He says in verse 2, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you." A teenager tells their mother that they've been invited over to their friend's house to stay over. Well, the mother's first question is whether this is just an invitation of the friend, or whether the friend's parents know that they're coming to stay. Because after all, it is the parents' house. And the parents may have a different will and desire to that of the child. But remember that the Son, Jesus, and the Father are one. What the Father loves, the Son loves. What the Father wills, the Son wills. So when Jesus says there is room in the Father's house in heaven for all who trust the Son, he has every right to extend that invitation. Because the invitation of the Son is the invitation of the Father. And these rooms in the Father's house are made ready by Jesus. I remember in my youth hearing people saying that if it took God 6 days to create the world, and more than 2,000 years to prepare our eternal home, what a wonderful place it must be. I understand the statement. The sentiment is lovely, but it's completely mistaken. God did not need 6 days in which to create the world. He could have created it in an instant. And God does not need 2,000 years to prepare our eternal home. He could do it in an instant. So what was Jesus referring to when he speaks of going to make ready a place for us? Well, he is talking about his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension to the Father. That's what was needed to make ready our eternal home. In our sinful rejection of the Father, we had forsaken our right to this eternal home. And Jesus is the one who has come to make it possible for us to enter. It's not it that needs to be made ready for us. It is we who need to be made ready for it. That's the very reason Jesus came. It's the very reason that Jesus is speaking to his disciples, telling them that he must leave them. He is going to die for their sins and take the judgment that they deserved. He will rise from the dead and return to his Father in heaven, having made ready room for them in the Father's house, just as he does for us. These rooms in the Father's house are made ready by Jesus, and he will bring us there. He says in verse 3, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." If the reason for Jesus leaving is to prepare a place for us in the Father's house, there is still something more to be done. He must return so that we might join him in the Father's house. Perhaps when someone is coming to your house, you provide them with directions. You start with a landmark that is well known, so obvious that once they find that, they'll most certainly find your house. For us, it's DID Electrical on the bypass around Bandon. Once you find that, you'll get to our house without any problems. Now, I have visited some of your houses, and I know that some of them are much harder to find than that. The directions are much more complicated. After the crossroads, travel for exactly 1 mile, and then take the turn on the right, and we're the house after the pink house on the left. Those kind of directions always make me nervous. What's wonderful is when a friend says to you, "I'm going, I know the way, I'll pick you up at 7:30. You don't even have to think about it. Your friend not only knows the way, they are the way. They're coming to collect you. They're going to bring you. There is absolutely nothing to worry about. Now that is what Jesus has to say about getting to the Father's house. We don't need to be concerned about how we're going to get there. He will bring us. He will collect us. That's what Jesus says in verse 4. "You know the way to the place where I am going." He is the way. He'll spell that out clearly in just a minute. But Thomas is still worried. "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" But Jesus has already told them he is going to the Father, and he will come back and bring them to the Father's house, that they may be there also. That's why he begins this passage with the lovely words, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." If you're trusting in Jesus to bring you to the Father's house, not because of something you do, but because Jesus has made it ready for you by his death and resurrection, you don't need to be worried about how you're going to get there. What's going to happen at death or beyond death? If you'll gain access to the Father's house, Jesus will take you to be with him in his Father's house. And there you will live with him. It's described in the most intimate of terms, the most personal of terms. Jesus says, "I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Heaven is not so much about the place as it is about the person. It's about being with Jesus, the one who loved us so much that he would give his life in our place, the one who has made ready for us room in his Father's house, the one who will come and bring us to be with him where he is. That is the glorious future that the believer in Jesus has. And for Jesus' first disciples, struggling with the fact that Jesus is about to leave them, this is what will bring them comfort. Though Jesus is leaving, he is going to make ready room for them in his Father's house. Why? So that they may come and be with him forever. Now that all sounds wonderful, but now we get to the offensive part. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We can know the Father by knowing Jesus and only Jesus. It might be acceptable to people if we were to say, I know God by knowing Jesus. That's perfectly acceptable, so long as you're not telling them that for them to know God, they too must know Jesus. They have their own way of relating to God. It's great that you found your way, but they'll find their way. That's why the words of Jesus cause so much offense. Jesus is not leaving any room for any other way. We can know the Father by knowing Jesus and only Jesus. No one comes to the Father except through me. Perhaps you have heard much about Jesus, even like much of what Jesus has to say, but you have yet to trust Jesus, to rely on him and only him to bring you to the Father's house. But there is no other way. And so long as you do not trust Jesus, there is no room for you in the Father's house. You must turn to him, ask for his forgiveness, trust him that he does it all by dying for your sin, and that you can trust him to bring you to the Father's house. You can know God by knowing Jesus and only Jesus. There is no other way. Jesus speaks here in this passage not only of knowing the Father, but showing the Father. It's Philip who makes the request in verse 8, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Philip's question comes in response to what Jesus has said. Remember, Jesus said, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. If Philip has to ask, show us the Father, he has yet to grasp in whose presence he has spent the last few years. Because the very reason Jesus came was that he might show the Father. Jesus speaks here of showing the Father by speaking the Father's words in verse 10. The words I say to you are not my own, not just my own. Jesus is not just a religious teacher who is outlining his own particular philosophy about life and about God. Jesus speaks the Father's words. Remember that Jesus not only calls himself the way, but the truth. Once again, we live in a society that does not want to accept the idea that there is absolute truth. We live in a world that wants everyone to be able to define their own truth, what works for them. But Jesus doesn't allow any wiggle space here either. He is the truth. He speaks the truth because he speaks the Father's words. Everything else keeps changing. Acceptable standards of morality keep changing. In fact, it seems that the moral standards change as quickly as fashion. It depends on what issue the celebrities are focused on at this year's Oscars, or what the latest issue is on social media. But truth, absolute truth, is tied up with a person, an eternal person, whose character is unchanging. And he has made this truth known because Jesus speaks the Father's words. Jesus shows the Father by doing the Father's work. Look again at verse 10. The words I say to you are not just my own, rather it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Notice how there's hardly any distinction between words and works. We're not just talking about the spelling of the two words. Jesus barely distinguishes between the two. In other words, he does the Father's work by speaking the Father's words. We tend to think of the miracles of Jesus as being the work that the Father sent him to do, but it is his words that are primary. The purpose of the miracles we see in the Gospels are to authenticate his words. Back in John chapter 10, verse 38, Jesus challenges the unbelievers to at least accept what he has to say because of the reality of his miracles. If they won't believe his words, at least believe because of the miracles that he has done. But now Jesus has to say the very same thing to his own followers. Verse 11, at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. Jesus shows the Father by seeking the Father's glory. In verse 13, Jesus promises to answer the prayers of his followers so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Jesus shows the Father, speaking the Father's words, doing the Father's work, seeking the Father's glory, as do we. This is the incredible truth contained in these closing verses. Look at verse 12. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. What has Jesus been doing? He has been speaking the Father's words. He has been doing the Father's work. He has been seeking the Father's glory. And when we trust in Jesus, we do the very same things that Jesus did. But Jesus says even more than that. Look at verse 12. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Sam Albury writes, Jesus can't be saying that we will somehow outperform him or have a more miraculous or powerful ministry than him. Not even the miracles of the apostles recorded in the book of Acts top what Jesus did. If it is through Jesus' words that the Father is working, then our greater works is not about us doing flashier miracles, but by multiplying his message. The more his words are shared, the greater is the work done by the Father. In his earthly ministry, Jesus could only be in one place at one time. Now, through his disciples, millions of mouths can be speaking his words all over the world at the same time. How are we to do this? How are we to speak the Father's words as we do the Father's work and seek the Father's glory? By the Spirit and prayer. Now, the Holy Spirit isn't mentioned explicitly in this passage that we read this morning, but there are going to be many references in the coming weeks to his person and his work. But he is still present here in this passage. When Jesus speaks in verse 12 about his followers doing even greater things, here's the reason he gives for it: because I am going to the Father. Now, we'll see in future weeks that this is a reference to the Holy Spirit. Jesus must leave so that he can send his Holy Spirit. These even greater things will be done because the Holy Spirit lives in every believer. And nothing that we do to speak the Father's words, do the Father's work, and seek the Father's glory can be done apart from him. How are we to do it? We are to do it by the Spirit and prayer. Jesus will do whatever we ask in his name, he says in verse 14. Now, that's not some kind of magic formula that guarantees success. So long as you finish your prayers with the words, "in Jesus' name," it's definitely going to happen. Rather, Jesus has come in his Father's name, representing the Father, doing and saying only what the Father wants. And if we are to pray in Jesus' name, we are to ask for those things that Jesus wants. When we desire what Jesus desires, what the Father desires, Jesus will do it so that glory will go to the Father, because it is the Father's will that is being done. Do you know the Father? If not, you can only come to know him by knowing Jesus. And if you do not trust in Jesus, there is no room for you in the Father's house, because Jesus is the only one who can bring us to the place that he has made ready for us. And if you are trusting in Jesus, do you seek the Father's glory by doing the Father's work of speaking the Father's words? Because his Spirit lives in you, and Jesus will answer prayer so that we might show the Father to those around us and do the even greater things that Jesus promised. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word and for the way in which it both brings us into the wonder of who you are, so that we cannot even properly grasp your very nature, and yet speaks to us the most incredibly simple of words. Father, thank you that Jesus is the one who has come to bring us to our Father's home. Thank you that by his death and resurrection and ascension to heaven, he has secured place for us there, and that for all who trust in him, he will come again and bring us to be with him, that we might be where he is. Father, we pray that we wouldn't just see this as something that secures our future, but something that makes a real difference to our present. We pray that as followers of the Lord Jesus, we would do what Jesus did, that we might seek your glory, that we might do your work, that we might speak your words as we call out to you in prayer, asking that you might grant to us your Spirit to do the things that you have promised. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, we're going to stand and sing one last song together. It's on the screen before we have our time of coffee together. And it's this song, "My Hope Is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness." Let's stand and sing.